in their search for the divine have generally preferred to look within. Generally, but not always. In their art, no less than in their religion, the Taoists and the Zen Buddhists look beyond visions to the void, and through the void at the 10,000 things of objective reality. Because of their doctrine of the Word made flesh, Christians should have been able from the first to adopt a similar attitude towards the universe around them. But because of the doctrine of the fall, they found it very hard to do so. As recently as 300 years ago, an expression of thoroughgoing world denial and even world condemnation was both orthodox and comprehensible. Quote, "We should feel wonder at nothing at all in nature except only the incarnation of Christ." Close quote. In the 17th century, Lallemand's phrase seemed to make sense. Today, it has the ring of madness. In China, the rise of landscape painting to the rank of a major art form took place about 1,000, in Japan about 600, and in Europe about 300 years ago. The equation of Dharma body with hedge was made by those Zen masters who wedded Taoist naturalism with Buddhist transcendentalism. It was therefore only in the Far East that landscape painters consciously regarded their art as religious. In the West, religious painting was a matter of portraying sacred personages, of illustrating hallowed texts. Landscape painters regarded themselves as secularists. Today we recognize in Seurat one of the supreme masters of what may be called mystical landscape painting. And yet this man, who was able more effectively than any other to render the one in the many, became quite indignant when somebody praised him for the poetry of his work. "I merely apply the system," he protested. In other words, he was merely a pointilliste, and in his own eyes, nothing else. A similar anecdote is told of John Constable. One day, towards the end of his life, Blake met Constable at Hampstead and was shown one of the younger artist's sketches. In spite of his contempt for naturalistic art, the old visionary knew a good thing when he saw it, except, of course, when it was by Rubens. "This is not drawing," he cried. "This is inspiration." "I had meant it to be drawing," was Constable's characteristic answer. Both men were right. It was drawing, precise and veracious, and at the same time it was inspiration. Inspiration of an order at least as high as Blake's. The pine trees on the heath had actually been seen as identical with the Dharma body. The sketch was a rendering, necessarily imperfect but still profoundly impressive, of what a cleansed perception had revealed to the open eyes of a great painter. From a contemplation, in the tradition of Wordsworth and Whitman, of the Dharma body as hedge, and from visions, such as Blake's, of the wonderful originals within the mind, contemporary poets have retreated into an investigation of the personal, as opposed to the more than personal, subconscious, and to a rendering in highly abstract terms, not of the given objective fact, but of mere scientific and theological notions. And something similar has happened in the field of painting, where we have witnessed a general retreat from landscape, the predominant art form of the 19th century. This retreat from landscape has not been into that other inner divine datum with which most of the traditional schools of the past were concerned, that archetypal world where men have always found the raw materials of myth and religion. No, it has been a retreat from the outward datum into the personal subconscious, into a mental world more squalid and more tightly closed than even the world of conscious personality. These contraptions of tin and highly colored plastic, where had I seen them before? In every picture gallery that exhibits the latest in non-representational art.